Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Good morning and welcome to the church. We are so glad that as we're here in this Advent season, you are choosing to look for the coming of Jesus with us. And if you're joining us online today, thank you for being here anytime, whether it's live online or sometime else. Today, as we journey forward in Christ, here's what I want you to start thinking about. Is as you anticipate the coming of the Lord, how is that practical? Practical to you, to your family, and your job, just every day. I'm going to talk to you today about the practicality of who we are in Christ. Because here's what I think, that as we talk about being full of faith, that if we only believe, but we're actually not living that out, then we're really not faithful. So what we need to do is figure out in life where we are with Jesus and how we're influencing others. Lord God, thank you that we are here today. Lord, that we have a breath to breathe. Lord, you gave us the gift of life. And Lord, and as we have that gift, Lord, let us be good stewards of it. Lord, let us use the gift, not just for ourselves, but for others around us. Lord, for the calling on our life. Lord, that we would know who you are. And Lord, that you would use us for the good of your kingdom. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. All in the name of Christ. All the people said, amen. I'll read you some scripture about that goodness that we just were singing about, we were giving glory to God about. Let's just start in the Psalms. But surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And then you go into Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, we talked about the coming of goodness, and now we're being chased down by goodness with the coming of God who is with us in Jesus Christ. And so I just want us to, in a reflective time of prayer, in an attitude of praise and thanksgiving, let's just give thanks to God for the goodness that he gives us despite what our circumstances might be. Lord God, thank you. I'm so, the energy of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that flows through us. Lord, I'm grateful for it. It gives us life. It gives us love. It gives us this goodness that we're singing of this morning. And Lord, how we're just offering our praises up to you. And Lord, I just want us to be aware of that goodness. Lord, to stop thinking of the goodness always of just the things that happen to us, the outside influences. But the goodness of you inside of us, Lord, the goodness of your sacrifice for us, the goodness that you know each of us by name, Lord, the goodness that you knit us together before the foundations of all of creation, Lord, inside of our mother's womb, Lord, that you were caring just for us. And Lord, just today, the goodness of gathering together with a common heart and a common mind of Christ Jesus. Lord, the goodness of the fellowship, the goodness of your Holy Spirit, the goodness of your influence. Lord, and I know this morning just from three conversations, Lord, the goodness of reconciliation of relationships, of the brokenness that has been put back together in families. Lord, the reconciliation of healing, of physical illness and maladies and bones. Lord, that goodness. And Lord, the goodness of just a return to you, remembering your salvation. Lord, a goodness of straying away. Lord, like that prodigal son, but coming back home, Lord. I know your goodness today among your people. And so, Lord, let it be seen. Let it be felt. Let it be known by us all. Lord, for all the unspoken requests today, for all the unspoken praises today, Lord, hear us. Hear our hearts. Lord, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for your goodness in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. You have an opportunity to give right now. There's baskets around the room. If you want to do that physically, you can do it online. You'll see some links, some places that you can text. You can call the office if you would like to do that as well. We're going to talk a little bit. Well, last week we talked about the favor of the Lord, right? Mary, you are highly favored, and all of us are also highly favored. I found out that I am highly favored because we're going to be able to parlay a ski trip into this men's retreat. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all need a sense of humor. And so that's going to happen in February. We're going to go to Rio Doso. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's Rio Doso, so I mean, it might be grass skiing or it might be snow skiing. But one way or another, we're going to do some things while we're there. And so look for that starting tomorrow. And it is a fantastic price to be able to do that. And so when you look at that, you're going to go, is that really the right price? Shockingly, it is, because some generous donations up front that paid for a lot of that trip. So that's coming. Chaney's going to come up, and she's going to read our scripture for the day out of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I think you better get your phone, unless you have it memorized, you're probably going to need that.
I do not.
If I'd have been a good pastor, I would have printed that out for you. I had a Bible sitting up here or something, but, you know, I just wanted the pressure of you standing here and everybody staring at you while you try to find that. And why are you getting redder? Can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat rising up in your face? No, I'm just kidding. If you want to read it right there, you can't. But then, let me tell you the trick, though. Then you have to count on the yahoos in the back keeping up. That doesn't always work out so well. So I would read it off your phone.
So Matthew 21 through...
Matthew chapter 2. Okay.
Matthew chapter 2.
1 through 12. You're going to be great. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah, during the time of King Herod Magi, from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" He saw his star when it rose and came to worship him. When King Herod, how do you say his name?
Herod.
Heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chiefs, priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born, in Bethlehem in Judea. They replied, "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of whom will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and
myrrh. Oh, God. Go ahead, sorry.
Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, I'm thankful for your word. Lord, I'm thankful for your provisions in our life. Lord, I'm thankful for your direction, not just for those in Scripture, Father, but for us as well. Lord, we give you thanks and praise in the name of Christ. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about, like I said, about being faithful in a practical way. And so when you talk about being faithfully, practically speaking, what does that mean for us? And how does that play out in our lives And so remember that just, I said it once, and I want to say it again, because believing doesn't mean that you're faithful, right? Believing is just believing. One of my favorite analogies that were actually recited back to me in one of our groups this week talked about believing, and how I've said it in the past, is believing in Jesus doesn't make you any more of a Christian than believing that you're a car and sitting in a garage, right? You can go stand in your garage all day long. It doesn't mean that you're a car, right? Now, as you get older, we might have to put a pan under you like we do old cars, but that's a whole different story. I'm telling you, y'all have to get a sense of humor. I'm quitting today. I mean, oh my gosh. That's one of the funniest jokes I have. Right? And so, but thinking about, practically speaking, I want to go back 500 or 600 years before the birth of Christ and talk to you about a young man named Daniel. And Daniel he lived in Israel. He was a Jew. He was of a great household. But Israel was invaded, as it was so many times over and over again. They were invaded by a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he was king of Babylon. He took a whole bunch of people hostage and made them into slaves. And Daniel and some of his friends happened to be some of those. And they were thrown in prison, okay? And so as they were there, he was tested. His faith was tested. And so I want to read to you out of Daniel 1, 17 through 21, just to get us started and to talk about who he is. It says, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every kind of literature and expertise. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander and the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked to them, and out of them, not one of them was found to be like Daniel. There was one named Hananiah, there was one named Mishael, and there was another named Azariah. Okay. Now, you're going to hear about those later on. Those are Daniel, and you probably know, how many of you have ever heard of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Anybody ever heard of them? How many of you ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah, lots of us. And so these were Jewish boys, okay, that were taken into captivity, and when they got to Babylon, they were renamed. They were given Babylonian names, okay? Even Daniel was given a new name. We refer to them as the ones that we know, okay? And so they were entered into the king's personal service. As for every matter of expertise and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the other soothsayers, priests, conjurers, and any of those that were all in his realm of the kingdom. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus, the king. Let me tell you how important that is, because Daniel, who was a young man who was taken into captivity, he had such of the favor of God on his life that he endured through 4 or 5 kingdoms, right? Nebuchadnezzar and his son, and then another king and another king and another. Daniel always found God's favor, and he was always able to take what God had given him, okay, all of the gifts of prophecy, the gifts of interpreting dreams, the gifts of faithfulness. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, the gifts of administration, the gifts of teaching, and God made those practical in Daniel's life, which allowed him to survive through all of those, but not just survive, as we will find out, but to have influence. Then the king promoted Daniel, okay? This is super important. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him great many gifts, and he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and the chief prefect over the wise men of Babylon. Why is that so important? Because that means that the influence that Daniel had, right, from his young age, what he was taught growing up of God, he now has influence over all of the worst kingdom that we've ever known in creation, Babylon. All of the wise men. What does that mean? And it says that he was the prefect over all of the wise men. Okay? That means that he had influence over the governors. He had influence over the counselors. He had influence over the advisors of the king. He was like the chief of staff in the White House over all of the kingdom of Babylon, and he got to influence them with one fact of faith, God. People that had never heard of God, people that had denied God, people that would be put to death because of their faith in God. And Daniel, he had that level of influence, and he was a godly man. And Daniel lived over the age of 100. Can you imagine getting 8 or 9 decades to influence somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, the amount of influence that you could have? Not just one generation, not just 2 generations, not just 3 generations, but 4 generations. That he got to show people who God is in his life. And then in turn, guess what they did? They influenced others, and they influenced others, and they influenced others. But now listen, let's go to 405 years after the death of Daniel, right? We went 400 or 500 years before the birth of Christ. Now let's go back to the time of the birth of Christ, and let's look at what's really important. Why would we talk about this when it comes to the wise men coming to see Jesus? Because listen, now after Jesus was born, I think I have that one up here. Yeah, now that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi, wise men from the east, arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." This is why Daniel is so important, because Daniel had influence over the generations of the wise men, over all of these people, and it carried on, not just for another generation, not just for 2 generations or 3 or 4, but for 400 or 500 more years. Imagine the influence that you have right now over the people in your life, and how far is that influence going to go? Most of us don't think that we aren't going to leave hardly any legacy, but yet you are. You are going to leave a legacy that is not just going to last the lifetime of your children, but their children, and hopefully their children, and their children, and their children. I hope it is 400, 500, 600 years. Even though I do hope Jesus comes back before 400, 500, 600 years, right? I'd be good with right now. Come on. Dang it. Right? I mean, that's what we want. But so how are you influencing people? I mean, you might be a really hard worker, and you might be a good craftsman or a tradesman, and you might be able to make things really well or fix things, and you're leaving that legacy onto your children. You've taught them how to cook really well, or taught them how to fix a lawnmower, or taught them how to decorate, or taught them how to be really smart or really nice. Those are all great things, and please teach them that. Right, I really want you to teach them that, okay? Teach them how to build a fence. Matter of fact, would you do that today and come over to my house? I mean, there are just things that are good and healthy and right, but what about this idea of our faith, of being faithful and allowing that to overflow, right? Goodness and mercy will chase us all the days of our lives, but now, God with us, are you overflowing into others around you? Because that's the legacy. The wise men, they knew lots of good stuff, okay? And some of them were magicians, and some of them were dream interpreters, and some of them were non-Christian, non-God followers, and they knew lots of things. But the fact is, some of them still had it in them what Daniel taught them, and it's about to really matter. What are you passing on to your children? What are you passing on to your neighbors, in your family, in your work? What influence are you distributing out from you that's really going to matter in 500 years? And you're going, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard. Who cares? We care because of this. James 1:22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word as so to deceive yourself. Do what it says." See, it's not just about believing it, it's about doing it. Because here's the problem. We can really believe a whole lot of things. We can really believe Scripture, and we can believe that we know, but do we really, when it's time for one of you is really going to get what I'm about to say, and if you were in our small group this morning at 9:30, you're going to love this. This is where God in our lives really becomes where the rubber meets the road. Yeah, some of you got it. And so, I mean, it really does. This is where it really matters. Because here's a great analogy, okay? Did any of you growing up, you saw your parents drive a car, right? I mean, everybody's got to raise their hand. And did any of you try to drive a car before you were really ready to drive a car? Anybody besides me? Oh, yeah. Me and one of my cousins, anybody remember, gosh, I'm going to date myself and y'all are going to laugh, but anybody remember Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Pippi Longstocking? Yeah, I know, gosh, so old. And if those of you that don't know it, maybe you can find it on YouTube, I don't know. But y'all remember where one's driving the car and one's down on the floorboard and they're pushing the gas and the brake? That looked like that was so easy, right? And so we thought we were prepared to drive the pickup out onto the farm on the dirt road out in the pasture. And I don't know, it kind of went into an irrigation ditch. And it wasn't that big of a deal, except the irrigation ditch obviously broke and water went everywhere. And then we had to be pulled out. And then I had to pull some other things out of me when my granddad got a hold of me. You know, those kinds of things. And so we can deceive ourselves to thinking that because we just believe something that we're prepared to encounter it. You are not. If you think that you're prepared to encounter all of the things that the world has to offer you, but you haven't practiced those encounters, it's going to hurt. And sometimes it's going to work out, and then sometimes it's not. Because you can say that you have faith, but if you're not faithful, right, you don't have anything. Right? Because a faith that does not do any good, right? A faith that is not practiced out, a faith that does not do any good is not any good. Look at that and just let that soak in for a second. And I'm not talking about your good works. I'm not talking about good deeds. I'm just talking about you putting it into practice. Because of a faith that is not, that doesn't do any good, that you don't practice and it works, and that you see it working and moving in your life, then it's really not any good. Okay? And so we have to think about that. This belief, right, belief that is not acted out in faith can really not only be deceptive to you, but deceptive to others. Because if others come to you thinking you know what you're talking about, but you don't, and then somebody, I mean, if you want to talk about Jesus all day long to somebody, and then somebody says, well, how has this worked in your life? Here's this new circumstance that's happening to me. How have you handled it? Oh, well, I really don't talk to God. I just know I'm supposed to talk to God. And I know it works, and I know he listens, but I really don't talk to him. How do you think that's going to go over with somebody that wants to know about Jesus? Not well. There was somebody a bishop in the United Methodist Church these last couple of months that said this when, you know, the big arguments going on in the Methodist Church and all that. He said this when somebody says, well, shouldn't we consult Scripture about how we should live and how the church should go and all these things? This is what one of the greatest leaders in all of Methodism, only entitled, by the way, a bishop said. He said, he goes, Scripture, I don't know exactly how he said it, but Scripture is the last place we consult for anything to do with the church. What? Right? See, if somebody came to you that wants to know about Christ and you have all the answers but you've never practiced it, it's really not a good measure of who you are in the Lord. You believe it, but you don't do it. And how can we influence others, right? Perhaps the wise men had learned all the way back from Daniel what they were to be looking for, how they were to be studying, what they were to be anticipating. And it went from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And I'm telling you, 500 years, here we are several thousand years after Christ, and still we are being faithful and we are looking for his return. These are non-Christian. These are non-Jewish people. These are people that the influence of Daniel really made an impact. They're not sure what they're looking for, but they know just to be looking. And it wasn't just their belief. It wasn't just their knowledge, right? It was more than that. Because here's what they were listening for. Here's what they were looking for. They were looking for the prophecy that came out of Isaiah. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, in deep darkness, the peoples, but the Lord will rise up upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising, right? The star. Don't really know what that was, how that looked. Don't know how it happened, but we know it was there because they said we were looking for, right? They said a star right here. We were looking for the brightness of your light, something they had never seen before. And they could have been astrologists. They could have been astronomers. They could have been magicians. They could have been all kinds of things, but they knew. And it wasn't that they just knew it, but then they acted upon it. They spent days, weeks, months, years making this journey, trying to figure out who this Jesus was, who this was that was born. It goes on to say this, a multitude of camels will cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah and all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and proclaim good news of the praises of the Lord. See, these guys, they were like, okay, we'll give it a shot. We believe. We've seen the faithfulness. We've seen the vision. We have seen what the prophecy said. We're going to go and check it out. Last week I said the whole call of Jesus on our lives has always been, don't believe first, just come and see. See what I'm doing. Put me to the test. Let me show you. And then let's talk about believing. Let's talk about being faithful. Just see what I'm about. And then as you see, then you start following. That's what they did. They wanted to go see. They believed and they saw it in the scriptures. They saw it in the prophecies. They saw it in the stars. And they said, practically speaking, I got to go see this for myself. How many of you are doing that? James 1:25. It says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So how about this? Talk about this preparedness. Talk about this going out into the world to show people who you are. See, you prepare way more than you think you do every day to go out into the world. How many of you just got up this morning, rolled out of bed, put on some clothes, and just came straight to worship? I know a couple of you might look like it, but I don't think that you did. Some of you are still a little sleepy. Right? No, you got ready. Right? You did things. You prepared yourself to encounter the world. You put on better clothes than you had on when you got out of bed. You put on a better face than you had on when you got out of bed. You put on better hair than you had on when you got out of bed. Right? You did all of these things so you could go encounter the world. How would the world treat you if they saw you as soon as you got out of bed? Minus your marriage covenant that you have with each other. You just got to live with that. You married that. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Right? How many of you would have, this is just a side note, how many of you would have gotten married if you could have seen your spouse getting out of bed 30 years after you got married? Do not raise your hands, right? Because you know things are going to change, but yet what influence do you have in that change 200, 300, 400, 500 years from now? How are you preparing someone for the next thing that's about to come? How are you showing them the faithfulness of God? Because the world's going to change. Methods are going to change. Social media is going to change. Technology is going to change. But the one thing that will stay true and remain the same is the Lord Jesus Christ. Way beyond 400 years. Way beyond 500 years. James 1:26 says this, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. And then their religion is worthless. I hate the word religion, but that's the word it uses. I want to put faithfulness in there. Those who consider themselves faithful and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their faithfulness is worthless. See, because no matter what you believe, it's what people see. I've said it this morning. I've said it a couple of times this week. You can preach and teach all day long, but whatever you show people, that's what they're going to remember. That's how they're going to act. That's what they're going to follow. So I want to ask you this question. Is what develops lasting faith? What develops this faith that's going to endure for generations to come? And will they put it into practice when it's actually time? Because what the wise men did is they came and they saw, right? They were there. They saw what it was, and they knelt down and they opened up the treasures. And let me tell you that it wasn't just, it couldn't have been just three men on their own. These were the best of the best of the kingdom that they were in Persia. They didn't travel alone. They traveled with the caravan. They traveled with security. They traveled with changes of clothes. They traveled with food and supplies. And because of the treasures they had and the land that they went through, when I say security, I mean they had security. Right? So this was a whole band of people. And they traveled. And it started out as a let's go see. And Matthew, right? Matthew starts out as a faith of let's go see, right? But it ends, just as Chaney read, it says, you got to go back a different way. And as you go back a different way, you're going to go, as we will learn next week, about going and telling to make it personal. See, it starts out as a come and see, but then it changes into a go and tell. Where are you? Which side of that are you on? Are you still as a come and see, or have you finally transitioned into what God has called you to do, all of us to do, and by the way you're living your life, your actions, your faithfulness, are you going and you're showing? Are you going and you're telling? Because Matthew 7:28 said, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law had done in the past. See, it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to be full of faith and be practical and pass that on to others. It's time for us to stop just coming to worship and seeing, but coming and being filled and going and showing. That's how we're going to change the world. That's how God changed the world. He had talked about it to generations and generations and generations. This is who I am. This is who I am. Just come to me. Just pray with me. Just be with me. And yet he finally said, I'm going to have to show you. And he sent Jesus. And Jesus is calling us to the very same thing. And so for you today, how are you going to change that? How are you going to be different? How are you going to leave here going and showing instead of just showing up to see? I don't know what it takes. I don't want it to be a crisis in your life. I don't want it to be something that's tragic and drastic. I don't want you to have to get to the bottom of the barrel. God and his children is just like us and our children. Wouldn't it be so much better if you would just learn and do without having to get down and out? Amen? Oh, that'd be so much better. So for us, for you and for me, let's move beyond just the showing up and observing. Let's go to the going out and showing and telling. Lord, we have influence. Lord, and we have been influenced by generations and generations and generations before us. Some of it good, some of it not so good. Some of it really easy and some of it really hard. But yet somewhere in there, somebody's faithfulness, and it may not even be in our own family, but somebody's faithfulness influenced us to be in the very place that we are today. Right here, worshiping you, online, worshiping you. Lord, making our best effort to be who you called us to be, or maybe for the first time, just exploring who you are. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for somebody's first step today to say, who is this Jesus? Let me go and see. But Lord, what I pray for today is that we would move beyond that. that we would start being influenced and transformed in a new way to go and show, to go and tell, to go and be a part of who we are in you. So, Lord, for us, let it be true. Let it be right. Let it be good. Let it be as you have called it to be. Let us look to the future and follow you. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen, amen. If you are a part of the baptism today, now's the time to go and get ready for that. If you want to stay and join the Smith family in a great holy moment in their life, I'm really encouraging you to do that. Don't just run off today, but just join us for 5 minutes out by the fountain when we're done in here, and just to celebrate that with them. Lord, just this new step, it's not just to come and see right now. It's about I'm showing. I'm becoming more faithful. I'm not just believing, I'm being practical. Let's stand and let's close.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.